You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 27th of February 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I don't have a specific news story to get into today. It's a topic that I want to get into, and that is the misrepresentation of the protests against the government immigration policy, which are concentrated on these hotels, because what we see is we see the mainstream media and we see the MPs all mischaracterizing these protests and saying that they are aimed at the migrants. They are targeting the migrants. They're scaring the migrants. The whole point of the protest is to scare the migrants. And that's not what's going on here at all. The protests are against government policy. Migrants don't make public policy. Doesn't matter how much you protest migrants, they're not going to be able to make any changes, are they? And you can't blame them for trying to come to Britain, which they see as a soft touch because of our government, because our government does not enforce protection of our borders. It actually sends taxi services out to go and pick these migrants up from the channel by a taxi service. I mean, the RNLI. Border force, you would think that border force was some kind of force that is there to protect our borders, but no, it is apparently a force to locate migrants and then bring them to our shores. This is what people are protesting against. Now, there was a really successful protest at the weekend at Skegness. There's about 400 people there in all. There was a march which took place, and they marched to, it looked like a park. And Patriotic Alternative had set up a stage there with scaffolding, and they had banners there, and they had flags waving. And Mark Collette and Laura Towler were speaking. And there was also a chap, I forget what his name is, Sunderland, I think his name is. And I think he also helped out at the protests to do with grooming gangs a couple of years back, I seem to remember. But yeah, there were 400 people there. There were local people that were speaking as well. And I thought it was really good that Mark highlighted the fact that this was a protest that was aimed at government policy, aimed at changing government policy. Because what our opponents try to do, they try to mischaracterize what we do. They try to pretend that all of what we do is targeting people of different races or targeting migrants. And it's not, because how is that going to change anything? That's not going to change anything at all. You're never going to be able to prevent people from coming into Britain until you actually change the government policy. I guess what they're trying to imply is that, oh, we're hoping that the word will get out that 20 nationalists might be waiting outside the hotel and shout slogans at you as if that's going to prevent people from trying to break into Britain, where they know they're going to get put up in a hotel. They know that they're going to get given social housing. They know that 95% of them will have their asylum claims okayed, and they will get refugee status. And once they get refugee status, they can bring their whole family over. So the idea that 20 or 30 nationalists with a banner highlighting illegal immigration is going to scare them away from coming, that's nonsense. That's not what people are doing. That's not what nationalists are doing. Nationalists are not that stupid, at least not ethno-nationalists. Anyway, I mean, it may be that some people that are new to this, that have only just come to this, they may not see the forces that are behind this. And they may just see the fact that there are these people from a different ethnicity with a vastly different culture that are being put up in a hotel near to them. And because that's what they see, they may think, well, that's the problem. That's who we need to be targeting our disgust against. And that is not the case, because they're not the ones that are to blame for this. As I say, it's government policy that is at fault. And the only way you can change government policy is by putting pressure on the government. And of course, the government and the mainstream media respond to this by mischaracterizing the protests and saying that they are directed against people of a different race. I mean, it's the same with Drag Queen Story Hour. It's not really the drag queen itself that is being protested against. It is the library and the council that is inviting them in and then paying them to apparently give a role model to small children. It's the councils that are doing this. If the councils were to say, well, no, we don't want to do this, we don't want to have sexualized adult entertainers linked together with children in any way, then those Drag Queen Story Hours would not happen, and you would not have this promotion of adult sexualized entertainment going on to toddlers. So it's not exactly the drag queens themselves that are being protested against here. It's the people that are facilitating this. And it's the same. You can say the same about the promotion of transgenderism, promotion of homosexuality in schools. Who is it that is doing this? We know that certain of the homosexual community think that it would be a good idea to promote this sort of stuff to children. But if it wasn't for the government saying, oh, yes, well, that's OK, we'll do that, we'll embed that in every lesson, we'll embed LGBTQ values into every lesson. If the government wasn't doing that, if the government had stuck with what they call Section 28, which effectively said that there will be no propagandizing of homosexual lifestyles to children, if the government had stuck with that, then there wouldn't be this issue, would there? I think most people don't have an issue with what grown adults do within the four walls of their own home, or what grown adults do within an adult club somewhere that's kept out of public view, and it's just for the people that wish to do that sort of thing. That's not really a problem for people. The problem that people have is when this lifestyle is promoted to children. And most of the people that are doing that are the school teachers, aren't they? And it's because the school teachers have been told that they have to do this because it is embedded into equalities law. And that's what people are protesting against. So again, when you have drag queens that will try and say, oh, I was terrified, that they're coming for me, it's not the drag queen themselves that is being protested against. And I mean, what we saw with this promotion of transgenderism and LGBTQ lifestyles to children, there was a protest against that being introduced in Wales late last year. And effectively, what's being introduced in Wales is the same as has been introduced in Scotland. And they're effectively teaching 4 or 5-year-olds sexual activities, which should not be talked about to children of that age. And they've said what they're going to do is they're going to embed LGBTQ into everything. So it has to be embedded into maths, English, history. They need to be teaching 4-year-old children about masturbation. All of these things, which apparently are based on faulty research, which actually comes from Kinsey, who is a discredited sex researcher from the 50s and the 60s. And he actually went to pedophiles to get a lot of his research from. He actually took them from pedophiles. And that research has been used to say, well, what we need to be doing is we need to be teaching children about sexualities and different sexualities. And a group of parents got together and said, well, we don't want this. We don't want this in Wales. We don't want our children to be taught this. So they tried to get it stopped and they called for a judicial review. And the authority said, OK, we'll have a judicial review into this. And I knew straight away that that wasn't going to solve the problem, because the problem is the law itself. The law that has come out of the United Kingdom Parliament is about equalities and about underrepresented communities, and LGBTQ people have to be represented. They have to be seen as being equal to everybody else. And the way that they understand that is that means that LGBTQ people have to be able to call themselves married. If they're able to call themselves married and to be just like everybody else, then they have to be able to adopt the same as a heterosexual couple can adopt, which then means that you have to redefine what a family is, because you will have children that are being brought up with two people of the same gender. as their parents. And once you start doing all of that, then they say, well, we have to encourage children to accept all of this, and we have to teach them about this when they're young, and we don't want these children that are in these families with parents of one gender, we don't want them to feel excluded. So because of this equalities legislation, that has to be taught in the schools. And that's the way that this equalities legislation has gone about. And they basically did this in Scotland. We know what the results of that were in Scotland. And now they're doing that in Wales. So it's not that the schools are somehow doing this themselves and they're going against what the government are telling them. It's not that there are LGBTQ activists in the schools that are doing this. It's the schools that have to do it, because that is the instructions that they've been given by the state. So when there was a judicial review into this, and the parents thought, well, the judge is going to look at this and he's going to say, look, this is terrible. You shouldn't be teaching four-year-olds about masturbation. You shouldn't be teaching young children about homosexuality. They shouldn't be introducing these ideas that young, which most normal people, I think, would agree that you don't really want to be doing that. It's going to confuse the children. And whether the judge agreed with the parents that that's a good thing for children to be taught or not, he was going to find that what the schools were doing was in accordance with the law, because the schools have been working on this and they're not sort of going off on their own, on doing their own thing. They're doing what the law tells them to do. And whether people think it's wrong or right, that judicial review was just about the judge seeing whether it conforms to equalities legislation or whatever the legislation is. So when people are protesting against these things, they're not protesting against the LGBT community. It's a protest against the promotion of this. And the reason for the promotion of this is because of this equalities legislation. And who is it that makes this legislation? Well, it's not the LGBTQ community, is it? It's the government. They are the ones that are behind all of this. And their main way of dealing with it is to pretend that the people that are against it are against the subjects of the legislation themselves, ignoring what people are saying and saying that they are protesting against the government, as was the case at Skegness or local government, and pretending that the protests are aimed at frightening members of the LGBTQ community or are aimed at frightening migrants. I mean, at this protest that was in Skegness, they even boarded up the hotels. They put all these big metal sheeting around the hotels as if there was going to be a mob of angry people who were going to go and literally pull these people out of the hotels and attack them. That's not what's going on here. People are protesting against the policy that puts them in the hotels, not the people themselves. And it's like this with all the subjects that we talk about in nationalism. They're based on group behavior. They're based on patterns that can be observed of these different groups. And it's not that when you meet an individual, they're going to behave like that. It's that the group itself, when you look at the averages, the group behaves like that. And you can't hold an individual to account for that. For instance, you could look at black Africans. You could look at the high incidence of violent crime. They're about five times more likely to engage in violent crime than white people are. But you also get black doctors, you get black surgeons. They are not going to be the sort of member of the black community that carries out violent crime, are they? But just because you've met a good black doctor or a good black surgeon or a good black lawyer, it doesn't mean that the group itself is not responsible for more violent crime. But you certainly can't hold the individual to account for that. The only people you can hold to account for that is the government and the mainstream media, who pretend that this is not the case, who pretend that what's actually going on is that all the judges are being racist against black people and all the police are being racist against them. And what's going on is that there are lots of white people that also engage in violent crime, but the white people are not being asked about this. The white people are not being arrested. The white people are not being charged. This is effectively what they're saying. And it's the same with exam results. You end up with the black community having lower exam results, more problems in schools. And this is because they have a lower average IQ. And we get accused of, oh, we're inciting hate against them by talking about these things. inciting hate again. Why would we want to incite hate against a group in society? What we want to do is we want to get policies changed at the government level. And you're never going to be doing that if you're just targeting everything at black people. They're not the ones responsible for the policy in government. It is the government itself that is responsible for these things. And also, when you talk about things like this high crime rate or the low average IQ, we say that, you know, that the high crime rate is linked to the lower average IQ. But the biggest victims of this higher crime rate are black people themselves. So when you talk about that, you're not inciting hate against them. Most people are going to feel more sympathy for them. They're going to think, well, that must be pretty awful. You know, if you have a community that has five times as many violent criminals within it as the ethnic European communities do, that must be very upsetting for the people in that community. And that's what the figures tell us. The figures tell us that black people themselves are the biggest victims of this increase in crime. But then if you have multiculturalism and you mix all the different people groups together, then what happens is you start getting victims from these other people groups, because it's going to be always going to be easier for a criminal type to pick on somebody that is not a part of his own family than it is to pick on somebody that is a part of his own family. I mean, this brings me to another misconception here, where we get told that, oh, it's all about skin colour. Nationalists just hate other groups because of their skin colour. Things are just based on race and skin colour and all of this. And what's really going on is nationalists are speaking up for their extended family. It's not about where somebody is born. It's not about what suntan they have. It's about who their ancestors were, who their extended family is. And we've always had this problem. We've had this problem where people have sort of identified with the geography that they're from. I mean, you can look back in history and you can see that various groups of people have been named after the geography that they're where they happen to be living. But who they actually are is based upon who their ancestors were. And when you get people that say, oh, why don't you go back to your own country? And people say, well, what do you mean, go back to my own country? This is my country. I was born here. Or why don't you go home? Well, this is my home. Well, what people mean by that is, why don't you go back to your own people, to your own family, where you would obviously be much happier there than in somewhere else that doesn't have the sort of laws that you want, that you think is racist. I mean, that's what people mean by this. When they talk about somebody's home being somewhere else, what they mean by home is where the family are, the family home. And I'm not talking about just the immediate family here. I'm talking about the extended family. So when you look around the world, you see there are ancestral homelands. You see there are different territories that have very large proportions of the same ethnic group living within that territory. And that is a homeland. That is the ancestral homeland. And regardless of where you're born, it doesn't change your ancestors, does it? You could be born anywhere in the world. If you have Japanese ancestors, you could be born in Timbuktu, but you're still going to be Japanese because that's who your ancestors are. If you're Black African and you're born in England, you're still going to be Black African because that's who your ancestors are. And we get this confusion because we try to tell people that they can actually be both. We try to tell people that they can be British, but at the same time, they can also be Pakistani. And it's very, very confusing. And what you have here is you have somebody can be a British citizen and they're of Pakistani ethnicity. But we've even started trying to confuse ethnicity now. And we have people like David Lammy saying, well, why can't I be of English ethnicity? Why can't I be Black English ethnicity? And that's because ethnicity is based on ancestry, and David Lammy's ancestry is not British. So we've confused the meanings of these words. Like when we say the word British, most people think somebody who is indigenous to Britain, somebody whose ancestors has shared ancestry with all the people that lived here in Britain of the past. That's what people think of when they say British. But now what we've done is we've said, well, people that come from other parts of the world, they can be granted citizenship, or if they happen to be born here, they can be granted citizenship. And that's rather like saying, if somebody is born in your house, they have the right to hold, to own your house, even if they're from a different family. If they're born in your house in your home, and everything that's yours then becomes theirs. I mean, that's a ludicrous idea, isn't it? People, what they do when they die, they have a will, they have a testament, and what they have goes to their descendants. It goes to their descendants because they're related to them by blood, because blood is thicker than water. It doesn't go to whoever happens to be living there. I mean, you could say if you had a landlord and you had a house and you had people that were renting the house, and the landlord died, the house doesn't then go to the people renting it. The house then goes to the next descendants of the landlord. I mean, everything is based upon race and ancestry and blood, and then we confuse things by saying, oh no, everything goes together with geography. It's rather like saying if somebody was born in a barn, then it would make them into a horse. You're still going to be the sum of your ancestors, no matter where you are. And as a nationalist, what we want is people to be proud of their ancestors. We want people to identify with their ethnicity. We want people to put their ethnic group at the centre of things and do what is best for them. I mean, this is why I won't criticise groups like Black Lives Matter. I won't criticise groups like the Jewish deputies of Britain, or whatever it is they like to call themselves. Any of these groups that are based around ethnicity are doing the right thing. They're trying to do what's best for their people group. The issue we have is that white people, as a collective, are not doing what is best for our people group. And any time anyone speaks up and says, I want to do what's best for my people group, the Indigenous British people, or I want to do what's best for ethnic Europeans, or I want to do what's best for white people, you will then be accused of being racist and of being white supremacist. And the people that are making these accusations are our own people group. This is what is so maladaptive about this. It's our own people that are doing this. This is why I don't go along with the term white genocide. A lot of people use the term white genocide. And what they mean by that is that a genocide is going on because white people are being replaced in their own countries. Conditions are being brought in that make it difficult for white people to have children. And this is the UN definition of genocide. But I believe genocide implies that it is somebody else that is doing this, not that it's your own people. So I think a more accurate term would be white suicide, because it's white people that are doing this to ourselves. It's our own representatives that have brought in conditions that make it unlikely that we're going to produce our own children. It's our own government that have opened up the borders. It's our own government that have lax immigration laws. It's our own government that have overseen, I guess, about 20% of the population in Britain being displaced by people that are not ethnically European. It's our own government doing this. So you can't say that it's a genocide when it's your own government. All you can say is that it's a suicide. And it is a suicide. It's maladaptive behaviour. If we look at it, if we look at the people that are going along with these other groups, it's white people. It's white people that are joining Black Lives Matter. It's white people that are getting down on their knees as a sign of deference to another people group. And we don't see these other people groups doing the same for us. And why would they do that? Why would we expect them to do that? This is the crazy thing, that white people have become so maladaptive. We're literally doing this to ourselves. Yes, there are members of these other groups that are encouraging it, but of course they're going to encourage it. They're going to encourage whatever weakens their competitors and strengthens their own group. A lot of people will say, well, Jews are hypocrites because Jews will encourage immigration into European countries, but they won't encourage immigration into Israel. And I don't think that's hypocritical, because they're doing what is best for them. If you were to ask a Jew about this, he would say, well, why would we be so silly as to allow immigration into Israel? We want Israel to be a Jewish state. We want Israel to remain simply for us. And you can't argue with that. That's just common sense. And then when you say to them, well, why are you encouraging immigration into these other countries then? And all they have to do is say, well, because it weakens our competitors. You are our competitors. And we wish to weaken our competitors and to strengthen our own group. And it's just common sense that they would do that. And you can't really criticize them for doing that. So that's why I don't think they're hypocrites. They would be hypocrites if they had another Jewish country in Europe, and in that Jewish country, they were encouraging immigration, and then in another Jewish country they weren't, then you can say, well, that's hypocritical because they're doing it to their own people. But all the while, it's another people group. You know, the name of the game is to compete against these other people groups and to raise the standards of your own group. And if you look at Jews, that's what they've succeeded in doing over the last century. They've done very well at increasing their influence and increasing their power and rising up above the other people groups. Because they know that there is a competition going on here. They know that there is competing interests. White people seem to have forgotten that. We've forgotten that we're actually part of a group, and that our group itself has interests, and that we should be trying to preserve ourselves, trying to create conditions that would see us thrive. And instead of doing that, we're so generous, we're so charitable, that we think we should be doing it for everyone altogether. But if we're doing it for everyone altogether, that means we're neglecting to do it for ourselves specifically. And this is the problem. If we're not doing it for ourselves specifically, who else is going to do it? Who is going to do it for us? As I just pointed out there, if you were to say to a Jew, why don't you have open borders in Israel? He'll just say, well, how ridiculous. You know, why would we do that? Why would we try to blend ourselves out? And this is the point here. It's white people that are doing that. In European countries, we are allowing ourselves to be blended out. Thankfully, there are some European countries which are not doing this. I can think of Viktor Orban specifically, who has pointed all this out. I mean, he has said that the other countries in Europe, they have the same problems as Hungary, this birth rate, where we aren't reproducing enough to replace ourselves, but these other countries in Europe are trying to solve that problem by importing other people groups, as if these other people groups can just replace the people groups that are there. But what that means, if it was to happen in Hungary, it would mean that Hungary no longer had Hungarians in it. It would mean that Hungary had in various different people groups. And Viktor Orban understands that. And that's because he is looking at the Hungarians as an extended family. Whereas what we're doing, particularly in Britain, we're looking at Britain as a group of people together that have shared interests because they live in the same territory. And in some aspects, we may have shared interests, but blood is thicker than water, and our loyalties to our family is strongest. And what's happened is, with white people, our loyalty to our extended family is now being forgotten about. Not by all of us, and I think the instincts are still there. And I think we see that when we see these polls that get taken, and most people, even when they're on the left, think that immigration is too high. So we do still have these instincts there that we need to be doing what's best for our own people. But because of this liberal idea, because of the Enlightenment, because we turned our back on our traditions, our Christian traditions would have prevented all of this. Because we turned our back on our traditions and said, well, we know better, and we carried on that course until we got to the point where we were saying, well, there's no difference between races, no difference between ethnicities, no difference between gender. Equality is such a good thing. We need to be trying to enforce equality in every area. Because of that, we've forgotten that we're a part of a group. And of course, all our competitors are going to encourage us to see things in that way, because it means they're going to win the competition. Whatever group it is, all of these groups are competing because there's only limited resources. There's only limited territories. And each of these groups wants to do the best for itself. It's like the head of a family wants to do the best for his family. Doesn't mean he hates the other families. And I don't think any of these other groups hate other groups. I don't think Jews hate Europeans or anything like that. I think they're just competing. They're just trying to do what is best for their group. And they've done very well over the last century. As I said, white people, you could say, are probably the most resourceful competitor against Jews, and Jews are probably the most resourceful competitor against white people. But as white people, we've turned our back on our traditions, we turned our back on our religion, we've said that we know better than our ancestors, and what we've ended up with is weakening ourselves and opening up our borders. And you can't criticise these other groups for encouraging that, because it's to their benefit if they do that. What we should be doing is doing what's best for our people and not trying to prevent our people from getting together on the basis of ethnicity. We need to get people to understand that ethnicity and ancestry is absolutely essential to identity. And then the shared things that we all want as part of the territory that we live in, that comes second. What comes first is ancestry. And whether these leftists understand that or not, when it comes down to it, they rely upon their family. They've been relying upon their families ever since they were born. The same as we as nationalists understand that we rely on our wider family. We rely on the nation for everything that we have. And the leftists are the same. It's just that they don't understand that. It's just that they haven't realized that for themselves. And they have all these maladaptive ideas that they are introducing. So as nationalists, we try to highlight these ideas that are maladaptive, that are harming us. We try to explain why it is that they are harming us. And we protest against the government, who are the ones that are enforcing these ideals upon us. So I wanted to say the way that we get portrayed in the media is false. What we are protesting about gets misrepresented in the media. And we're all about love for our own people, and that gets portrayed as if it's hate for every other people. And that is not the case. And I don't want people to think that you can hold individuals to account for group behaviour. I mean, that is not what nationalism is about. And as I say, I was very pleased to see at the Skegness demonstration that was being highlighted, that it wasn't the migrants that were being protested about. It was the government that were enforcing this policy of theirs of just allowing anybody that tries to break into the country to come into the country. It's not these migrants that you can blame for trying to have a better life for themselves. It's our government for not protecting us from that. Anyway, thank you very much. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.